You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Arkansas basketball back on the court tomorrow. They'll play Georgia in Athens at Stegman Coliseum. It's going to be a 3 p.m. Central tip-off. That'll be 4 o'clock local time there in Athens. It'll be televised by ESPN2, Arkansas ranked number 17. Georgia ranked number 21. Both of these teams, I don't know if I would say that they're going in opposite directions, but certainly the way the midweek went, you've got one team coming in that's probably feeling a little bit better about itself in Arkansas, and you got a team in Georgia that I wouldn't go so far as to say they're reeling, but I think they're starting to kind of feel the reality of what everyone has said about this team, which is that once they get to the SEC, things will be a little bit more difficult. Georgia has lost two of its last three, including in the midweek, when Ole Miss beat the Bulldogs. Georgia 14-3 overall, 2-2 in the SEC. Arkansas 13-4, 3-1 in the SEC. The Razorbacks are in a tie for first place in the conference. Ethan Westerman is in here with me now. You look at Georgia, and what stands out to you about this team?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, sounds familiar, right? That, you know, Arkansas is going into a game over the weekend on the road against a team that's not had good results recently, but and Arkansas maybe got some of its confidence back. You can't get too high, though, I think, is the lesson for Arkansas that, like, you know, you can lose on any given day in the SEC, so you can't go into, especially on the road, go into anybody's building just thinking that you can win, but thinking that you'll just win without having to bring your A game. Georgia, I mean, the thing that everybody's going to talk about, I mean, you'll hear it probably ad nauseum on the broadcast, they're the top scoring team in the nation, so that's what stands out. They have several guys who can really score the ball. Wilkinson, the guard, averages 18 points a game. Blue Kane, a guy that I think, you know, most SEC basketball fans are familiar with now. He's one of those that stayed at the same school, so you get to know him by this point. 14 points per game. Marcus Melender, he scores 12 points a game. So they've got several guys who can really score the ball. What really I think stands out the most to me about them and in this specific matchup, Georgia takes the second most free throws in the country, so that's how they get a lot of their points. I mean, I think any high scoring team, that's usually like a pretty solid bet that they're going to be a high free throw attempt team. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing: Arkansas is the 15th least fouling team in the nation, so something between that's going to have to give. Either Arkansas is going to play defense without fouling, and really make Georgia have to score in other ways than the foul line, or Georgia's going to get to the stripe at your home arena, which is always a thing to watch in the SEC when you're on the road, is your foul issues. So I think that's kind of going to be maybe the game within the game that I'm watching, is can Arkansas defend without fouling and defend without fouling and defend well? I mean, it's one thing if you're not fouling, but they're hitting every shot on you. Can they force some misses and not give them, you know, free points at the line?
They got two others. Want to make sure I say their names right here. Samto Surreal and Cannon Catchings. They're both averaging 9.8 points. So basically they got five players who are averaging in double figures. I mean, those two just right there underneath 10, you round up, and they are at 10. I had to go to their game notes, by the way, to find out how to say these last names. And usually I can go to a game notes in a PDF and type in pronunciation. I couldn't find it anywhere here. I was like, well, this is going to be the first time I've ever seen game notes that doesn't have a pronunciation guide. It's got one. Their pronunciation guide is labeled like this: PRONUN-SEE-LONGA-SHUN-GUYD. So they actually, like,
they pronounced pronunciation. That's funny.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Well, this is definitely the center that you mentioned. You need the pronunciation guide for him. He's from Nigeria, and he's a 6'11", 260. I mean, this is a big dude. I'll be curious to see how the Arkansas front court fares against him, because he is a guy that, you know, it's one thing to have size, it's another thing to have size and production, and he has both, I think, you know, with 10.6 rebounds a game. So something to watch there for sure.
Yeah, Mike White's their coach, and he's been around the SEC for a long time. He and John Calipari have coached each other, or against each other, who knows how many times, between Arkansas and Georgia and Kentucky and Florida. How much do you think that familiarity, like when you're preparing for a team, how much do you think being familiar with what a coaching staff likes to do goes into it?
It definitely does I think to an extent, I do think that this year, Mike White, it seems like they're doing some different things too. Like, I mean, they're pressing a lot. It seems like maybe he's a coach who's tried to, you know, things haven't been, they haven't been bad for him. It's just kind of felt, correct me if you feel differently about it. I feel like Mike White's coaching tenure, it just feels very stale to me. And he's kind of maybe the type that.
Well, he got out of Florida before, you know, ahead of the posse.
Yeah. So I feel like it's one of those deals where he's maybe at this point trying to maybe adapt more to like what can we do with this specific roster to get an advantage, and so they're pressing and stuff a lot more. So I mean, it goes into to an extent, but I mean, any good coach is going to dictate how they scheme stuff in a year based on their specific roster that year. If you can't do things that you did 3 years ago whenever you had different athletes than you do this year. So I expect they'll look, I mean, I'm not used to Georgia being this high scoring team or any Mike White team just being like the, you know, what they're doing right now. Obviously who they've played plays a factor into it, but you can't ignore the numbers that they've put up.
You and I think have talked about this before. Stegman Coliseum might be the darkest arena in the SEC.
Grungy.
But what, how does that affect, like if you're a shooter, your backdrop?
I mean, I think it definitely can. I think that the Georgia players, it probably can. I mean, it's one thing if you've been shooting in, in an arena like that for a long time. But I go back to, like, several, like, things, experiences in the past where I've just seen, like, this is a small thing, but I went to a WBIT game at Tulsa, and I don't know if you've ever been to Tulsa's arena. It is dark in there. And it just was like Tulsa was just shooting lights out, and you could just tell that the backdrop was affecting the Arkansas. Like, they just could not buy a shot. And I was like, I feel like it has something to do with it. I feel like it's one of those things that you just have to adapt really quick, and in your shoot around, take it pretty serious, just trying to, you know, I don't know, focus on how to shoot in that arena. But I do think it's funny that, like, Georgia, you know, that arena, it just, like, you can tell through the TV just how weird the lighting is in there. So I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how Arkansas fares there. I want to go back to this, the center I was talking about. I just did a real quick look at his game, you know, kind of his game log. I actually think, you know, a game within the game too is, if Arkansas's bigs limit him from scoring, you look at their games that they've won and they've lost. It's almost like how, you know, people were viewing Trevon Brazil there for a little bit, which I don't know if it's like, I still think Trevon Brazil is an X factor for the team with how he plays dictates a lot of time how Arkansas looks, but this guy's the same way. I mean, he scored 18 against South Carolina. They won that game. He scored 15 against Auburn. They won that game. Their losses in SEC, 2 points against Florida. He had 7 against Ole Miss. I just think that when he gets in double figures, that's a real recipe for them.
You're talking about Surreal.
Surreal, yeah. The 6'11 center. Yeah. So I think that, you know, maybe watch and see how he's doing tomorrow. If Arkansas can take him out of the game a little bit and make it kind of a, you know, the guard show for Georgia. I mean, I'll put Arkansas's guard play up against pretty much anybody in the nation right now as far as, like, going blow for blow. It's I think whenever the bigs for another team have their way, that Arkansas gets in some trouble.
I want to go back to the South Carolina game a couple of nights ago or 3 nights ago. How long that guy? I don't know. I haven't slept much. It was this week. It was this week. Arkansas played South Carolina, and they beat them pretty bad over at Bud Walton. You were really impressed. I wanted you to talk some about this, about how well Arkansas passed. I think you kind of shared John Calipari's thoughts, where he was saying after the game, 27 assists, 4 turnovers. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that. And then for Acuff to have 13 assists with no turnovers was awfully impressive.
I really just don't know if, like, maybe I have seen it. I've watched a lot. Like, basketball's been my favorite sport since forever, and I've watched a lot of games. I just don't remember off the top of my head 27-4. And honestly, I think that they had 3 turnovers before they cleared the benches and maybe had a turnover in there. Like, it was not a fluke, like, how good of a game they had as far as just protecting the ball. You know, we talk about it a lot in football because, I mean, it is a lot more magnified. A turnover in football is possessions are, you know, coming to premium, but it's the name of the game, I think, in basketball too. A lot of the times is how well you protect the ball, because it's all about getting shots off. I think a lot of times when you look at, you know, final box scores, the team that had the most shot attempts, I get it. I mean, if you just shot terrible and have more shot attempts, that doesn't do too much for you. But let's say that, you know, a team has a, you know, 15 to 20 shot differential, that really impacts the game a lot. And Arkansas, it's not only that they were not turning the ball over the other night, they were turning a South Carolina team over that had been pretty good at not turning it over. I think they were they led the SEC in like fewest turnovers entering the game, like nine or ten a game, just really good. And so Arkansas got a lot of more shots than them through that, you know, through protecting the ball. And then the assists were just, you know, I don't know, they just were moving the ball well, finding guys, and things looked pretty easy for them. But overall, I think that's the type of game that you just you take how Arkansas played against South Carolina, and I get it, opponent has a lot to do with it. Arkansas had a lot to do with it. It kind of felt to me like a situation of, you know, like, that's how good Arkansas can be. This is how bad South Carolina can be. And I think that if you're Arkansas, you're like, if we could just play like that, who cares who's on, like, who you're playing against? That's you at your best, for the most part.
You wrote this week about Calipari getting, quote, his team back after the South Carolina game.
Yeah.
And I think he had said something along the lines of he didn't even care if they win. You know, he wants to win, but he was more concerned against South Carolina getting them to do the things that they had basically been coached to do. And so I would think that for him, not only that happening, but then being able to beat South Carolina the way they did, he's got to be feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah, I was kind of joking that, you know, it's not that he got his team back, and then it's almost like he got a different team too. He got a better version of his old team. I mean, it was it just like was one of those, you know, games that, you know, fans love to watch and coaches wish that they could, you know, do over and over again, where just things are just all going right. I mean, guys are making shots. I mean, Malik Thomas made all 5 3-pointers he took, and there was a really difficult one in there in the second half that kind of like, I think, crossover step back three. Maybe it was late first half. I don't remember. That whole game is kind of foggy in my head, but it was one of those games where it just felt like Arkansas was doing everything right. I mean, there's still more to be desired defensively, and I think they're always, you know, for most coaches, there always will be. But it's the final score, like South Carolina finished with 74, whatever. I mean, Arkansas had a pretty good defensive game too, because a lot of those points came with the, you know, your end of the bench. And I just think it was one of those games that Cal got, not only he got his team playing back to how he knows they can play and he thinks that, you know, the team they can be, he got them, you know, even a sharper version than maybe before that loss at Auburn. Because, and he's mentioned this last week on his radio show, that he said the Auburn game started second half of Ole Miss. He said that's when that started, was whenever we got up by 17 or whatever and got complacent. And Ole Miss, they make a 3-pointer in transition on a 3-1, which I don't know why they took a 3. But if he makes that and it's a 1-point game, who knows how that one ends. Calipari said that that's whenever his team, when it started. It wasn't actually at Auburn. It was that second half at Ole Miss.
We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville, or online, bentonvilleglass.com. Highest glass market need, or the highest quality products for your glass market needs. Big weekend here in Fayetteville in terms of just a lot of stuff going on. We talked about basketball, Arkansas and Georgia on Saturday. That game's going to be down in Athens. Here in town, you've got baseball scrimmages beginning, the first preseason scrimmages for the baseball team over at Baumwalker Stadium Friday and Saturday. It's going to be awfully cold, but they're going to be out there getting their work in. You got the Arkansas Invitational over at the Randall Tyson Track Center tonight. The indoor Razorback track teams getting in action for the first time this season. No women's basketball this weekend, and I'm sure they're probably okay with that after what happened last night against Missouri. They got, I mean, this is a Missouri team that had not won an SEC game until last night, and you go into it thinking maybe this is going to be the time for Arkansas to get its first SEC win, and they couldn't have started the game any worse. And, you know, you look at them, you look at the rest of the league, and there just aren't a whole lot of opportunities, it feels like, for wins. And I would think that to lose to Missouri that way had to be pretty discouraging.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, they played terrible, especially in the first quarter. They had good, you know, resolve to make it a game into the first half. Like, they were down, I think it was 25-6, which, or like 62 seconds into the second quarter, they're down 19. They could not shoot. They couldn't really defend. Like, I was like, what are y'all doing? Well, but they did a good job to make it a game. by halftime. They, you know, had it within 10 early third quarter, and you're like, okay, do they have another push in them? And then the floodgates open. Missouri goes on the big run, ends up winning by a really lopsided score. If you're Arkansas, I think it's one of those deals where I still do think when Missouri comes here, because that's they in women's, you have one opponent you play home and away each year, and Missouri is there. That's a really good opponent to have, is that, because I do think they're beatable still. You just can't play how you did in the first quarter or how you did in a lapse in the third quarter, and getting them on your home court. It's one of those games that, you know, they got beat by a really big margin last night, but I still think they could beat them in Bud Walton later in the year. But I mean, yeah, the opportunities are very few and far between. I think their next one actually could be a game that they have a chance. I know Georgia's 15-3 next Thursday, though, but Georgia's been kind of suspect in a few of its games. But then again, it's like I don't feel confident about them beating anybody. People, they have chances, but I'm not confident.
Something I thought about as I was thinking about women's basketball. You remember softball, Courtney Dyfel's first year. They went 1-23 in the SEC, which was the exact same record they had the year before under their previous coach, Mike Larrabee. When you talk to people looking back on that season, they said they could see, you know, little things, little slivers of this is better, that is better. Are you seeing anything that's better? Because their record this year may end up being as bad or worse as what they had last year.
Yeah, their overall record, I mean, it will be better this year because they have 11 wins, but their SEC record could very, very well be worse. But it's like last year's team that had 3 wins in the SEC, all 3 wins were just Izzy Higginbottom went crazy.
Yeah.
And just willed them to a win. Their games against they have a few games this year that maybe they could get close to equaling that win margin, but I mean, I just don't have confidence right now. But there are things, if you just watch the game, the thing that they've regressed this year, the turnovers are worse. They cannot, every team's pressing them, it seems like, because they just know they cannot handle a press. They don't do great against the zone a lot of times too. I mean, it's just like they're just indecisiveness is really stands out on the team. But the one thing that is better this year, they rebound hard. That if there's one thing that you can point at from this team, even to this point in SEC play, that you're like, okay, that's a step forward, is they rebound. They out-rebounded Tennessee in a big loss the other night. A lot of times, I get it, the rebound battle has to do with, like, you know, the other team's shooting so good that you're getting more opportunities to rebound. But, like, it's the offensive glass, too. That, like, they dominated Missouri offensive glass last night. They beat Tennessee in the boards. They actually were out-rebounding South Carolina at halftime of that loss, and then they end up losing that by like 9. But South Carolina is like the best rebounding team in the nation. They're doing the toughness things that I think you can see. Like, there's a tougher culture, it feels like to me. They just don't have as the, I don't know. It's like some of the turnovers and stuff they're doing, I'm just like, you just need more heady basketball players, if that makes sense. Like, there's some of them that are young that I attribute a lot to like their youth. There's some that just, it's like, I just, like, you're in your head. You have to be in your head. Like, how are you just dribbling it off your foot? You know what I mean? I will tell anybody, though, give it time with a first-year coach. Like, I mean, do you want to know Dawn Staley's record her first year at South Carolina? I'm not saying Kelsey Music will make Arkansas what South Carolina's become, but Dawn Staley was 10-18 overall, 2-12 SEC her first year. Her second year was 7-9 SEC. Most first-year coaches, there's a few exceptions in women's basketball, like Kim Mulkey, a Hall of Famer going from Baylor to LSU, a program that's had success before.
In the collective era.
Kim Caldwell going into, which I still credit, she did a phenomenal job her first year last year to do what they did. But, I mean, she's walking into Tennessee. Like, that's like one of the most, you know, supported, if not the most supported women's basketball programs in the nation. There's some rare exceptions with first-year coaches. Most of the time it goes about like this.
Well, if Music's time that it takes her to get into the press conferences are any indication, this is not for a lack of fire and desire and want to from the coaching staff. Yeah. It seems like she's not – the record may not be good, but it's not going to be just, oh, well, that's just how the way it is. There's still a lot of fire there.
Yeah, you can tell that these losses, which I would hope so, these losses really bother her. Like, they're not happy, but, like, nobody's happy in the first place losing like this, but you can just tell, like, she's really not enjoying this part of the first year. But, I mean, if you look at her first year records at SWASU, Southwestern Oklahoma State, and Oral Roberts, they were worse than this has been as far as, like, it's – And I asked her last night, like, just to kind of wrap up the press conference, like, how much do you draw back on those kind of experiences as far as, like, you've been in a first year of a rebuild before where you had results like this? And she said that she tries to forget about those, but, like, it is nice that, like, to kind of remind herself that it is a process. And she said something along the lines of, like, a house doesn't get built on the first day. Like, it takes some time. But, you know, if you look at her first year at SWASU, their overall record was 3-24. She built them into the national runner-up. And then at Oral Roberts, her first team was 12-19, ended up being back-to-back 20-plus win teams before she came to Arkansas. And that first Oral Roberts team came to Arkansas, and I remember they got beat by, like, 30. And it's just, it takes time. I think that's the biggest message that, you know, fans don't like to hear, that things take time and patience. Like, I had somebody respond on, like, I tweeted the game story for this for the game last night. I mean, I said a brutal first quarter. They scored 4 points in the first quarter, guys. I think a brutal first quarter is pretty accurate. Somebody responds, a brutal roster set the tone for the game. There, I fixed it for you by telling the hard, honest truth. No recap needed. I'm like, man, I'm just telling you what happened in the game. I was not trying to pick on this roster.
Turning around ORU is a much different thing than trying to turn around Arkansas in a conference where you got Texas and South Carolina and Tennessee and LSU. I mean, it is a big challenge there for Kelsey Musick. They're off until next Thursday. Going back to men's basketball real quick, going into the weekend, I feel like we're at a point now where the next couple of weeks is going to help us get some separation in the standings. There are 12 teams right now that are within one game of first place in the SEC. There's a five-way tie for first place, 3-1, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Missouri, Texas A&M, and Florida. And then there are seven more teams that are sitting there at 2-2, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Texas, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. The only teams that have not won two conference games at this point are OU, Auburn, and South Carolina, all at 1-3, and then LSU is winless, 0-4, in the SEC this week. The weekend schedule, you've got Kentucky at Tennessee. That's going to be an early game tomorrow on ESPN. That'll be a very interesting game, I think, to watch. Alabama goes to Oklahoma. A couple of ranked teams, Florida at Vanderbilt. Missouri goes to LSU. A&M is at Texas. Texas playing pretty well here of late. Tremont Mark had a really big game for them the other night when they took down Vanderbilt. South Carolina goes to Auburn. And Ole Miss is at Mississippi State. So two ranked matchups this week, Arkansas and Georgia and Florida Vanderbilt. And even though Kentucky's not ranked, Kentucky going to Tennessee, that's maybe I think you could make an argument that that's the most intriguing game of the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Kentucky, that was incredible what they did the other night. I mean, give them credit for coming back in that game and making that shot at the end. LSU's got to be just sick with itself, though, because, like, they had that in control.
Do
they missed
know
two
how many
free
times
throws.
Kentucky has gone into the Pete Maravich Center and just ripped LSU's heart out. Yeah.
They
I've
had
seen
that
it happen
huge
for
comeback in
years.
The 90s.
Oh, yeah, they were down, like, 34, 32 points, something like that, and came back and won with Rick Pitino as their coach.
Well, LSU also missed a pair of free throws, like, right before that happened, as in, like, you make one of those and at bare minimum you're going to overtime. But they've just got to be sick with how that happened. You know, we keep on repeating it, and it's true that we're early in the conference season, but this is the time of year where if things aren't going how you need them to, it can start to feel late. I mean, ask Arkansas last year. How did it feel when they're sitting 0-5? Things felt pretty late early. I think that we're at that point where you can start to see what teams are going to be here to stay, but I do think we are early enough that give it time for some of these teams that maybe are, you know, like Auburn, 1-3. Where do they finish up? You know, some of these teams down there, I just think that you can, you know, maybe freak out a little bit too much this time of year, but it is, you know, at least the joint, the juncture of the year where you have to, you know, start to kick things into gear. I feel like,
and every game matters in that conference race. And I truly believe this. Arkansas ought to be in the SEC race at the end of the season. But in order to do it, you probably can't drop a game to Georgia on the road. I know Georgia's good, but that's a game I feel like Arkansas ought to be able to go in there and, you know, win that game. You're going to have to – I think a team that's going to win the SEC, they're probably going to have a record of somewhere around 5-4, 6-3 or better in road games. And so they've had the hiccup against Auburn. they got to go into an arena like Georgia or maybe like Florida later in the year, and they're going to have to steal one against a good team in their home arena. I think Arkansas's got a very good chance to do this tomorrow. They just got to go in there, and they can't have that bad start that they had against Auburn. And I will continue to say this: in the Auburn game, they did not have Carter Knox. I don't know that he would have been the difference in them winning that game or not, but I think that game went a lot different with him not being in there than it may have if he was able to play.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, these are the type of games, though, that you look at. Auburn was a great example of one that you would really like to have back that make the difference in the final race of the SEC. Like, a game at a ranked – I know that's a ranked Georgia. It's not per se a bad – it would not be a bad loss as far as, like, it's a team that's ranked and you're in their home venue, but it's the type of win that sets you apart from being just good to being – you know, considered a great team. I think that Arkansas could maybe afford to lose three or four road games and then take care of business at home and maybe still have a chance to win the SEC. But it's a game like this that makes you feel a lot better about their chances. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be an intriguing race to watch all year long. I think that we have some real contenders and maybe a few pretenders already, but you'll get a firmer grip of it, you know, in a few weeks.
Yeah. There's a big difference in 4-1 and 3-2, just in how you feel about your team, probably how the team feels about itself, certainly, and how people feel about that team. Arkansas trying to get to 4-1 in the SEC for the first time since the 97-98 season.
Yeah, and I mean, last year, Arkansas got its fourth conference win on February the 12th. So, which honestly, that to Arkansas fans on the last day of January, if they had said, we'll get four by February 12th, would have been like, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. They didn't get their third one until, February the 5th. So Arkansas is ahead of schedule right now. As far as how they were last year, but it is like there's a lot of teams right now that are in that same boat as Arkansas was a year ago. LSU, I mean, look at them. They don't have a conference win still. It's probably feeling like, all right, if we're going to do something, it's got to start pretty much now.
We got baseball, basketball, track. Forgot to mention earlier, football. This is the last day of the transfer portal. There's going to be a lot of commitments, we think, this weekend for football. We'll have all that for you at our website, wholehogsports.com. Throughout the weekend. Hope to see you there or back here on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.